show on your smartphone. Just go to GCNlive.com and click on Listening Options. This is the Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Right on. We're gonna play audio from Richard O'Berry right now. And the call came late at night, and we scrambled to record it, and he knew it was being recorded. It's got a lot of information in it about the way he's being treated in Japan. Let's go, and then we'll talk about it.
I'm very glad to be able to talk with you. I've been very, very concerned about you. How is your well-being right now?
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping to see a specialist. I just spoke to my lawyer who came to the prison this morning for 30 minutes, and we'll see. I don't know myself until I find out. I've had some issues with pain in the chest, and I've right. never had that before in my life, but I've heard that it's associated with a possible stroke or something, so I just wanted an EKG.
Right.
And they took me to get one at a hospital nearby, and the doctor said I had a premature ventricle contract, whatever that is. It skips a beat once every...
Oh, yeah.
So, but he...
We all have that in our family, by the way.
Yeah, he's a general practitioner. He's yeah. not a specialist, and he okay. his English is not very good. So I just wanted a second opinion. So I can't answer your question until I know myself what that means.
Are you there of your own volition or not?
Well, in some ways, when I came through immigration, I was stopped, detained, and they took me down to the basement of the Narita Airport and put me behind stainless steel bars for 3 days, and then tried to deport me, marched me through the airport in handcuffs with a rope around my waist. I got in touch with the lawyer and said, I want to challenge this because I have not broken the law in Japan. I've never lied to immigration. And so at that point, they didn't deport me. And so in that respect, I could have left, yes, and I could not return for 5 years. And I was trying to prevent that. So,
right.
So no, then I'm taken to I'm in a full-blown prison.
Okay, so now...
Voluntary confinement.
Solitary confinement?
Yeah, I'm in the cell by myself. It's a 10-by-10 cell. It's got a slot through the door. And in fact,
they just passed
really bad food through the window, and
I haven't been
eating the food, and I'm not going to eat this either. Yeah, they just gave me in the morning. It's 2 pieces of white stale bread and a cup of hot water.
Are you freaking kidding me?
No, I'm serious. And I'm not being singled out. Everybody is fed the same thing. I think I'm the only American here in this cell block. It's mostly Muslims. And above my head on the ceiling, there's an 8-by-10 compass rose pointing to Mecca. And
nice.
Throughout the day, you hear people doing
praying.
Their chanting and praying. I can't understand the language, but I hear the word Allah a lot. And then there's a camera in the middle of the room.
There's a camera in your room?
No, there's a video camera on the ceiling above my head with a light that's on 24 hours a day.
Oh, my God.
So it's a serious prison. My Japanese colleagues who have come here, Sakai Hemi from the Health and Nature Conservancy, said this is one of the most dangerous persons in Japan. Why I'm here, I have no idea.
That's a great question, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, the American Embassy have been very helpful.
Yes, they have. I've talked to them.
Congressman Liu has been very helpful.
Yes.
So I want to thank them. I also want to thank the Immigration Department because they have brought a tsunami of international publicity to the annual dolphin slaughter in Taiji, Japan.
Right on.
I couldn't do that on my own.
Okay.
So it's very inconvenient. It's very uncomfortable. But the rewards are huge for the dolphins because
sure.
they need this kind of attention.
Let me ask you a question. If you wanted to leave now, could you do that or not?
No.
Okay.
So I'm in here 24 hours a day. I've been here 11 days. I'm never out unless I'm being interrogated or my lawyer comes.
Yeah,
so he was here 30 minutes.
Tell me about the interrogation.
That's the worst part. That is extremely abusive, and you can do a Google talking about Amnesty International. There are thousands of people, Westerners, Americans, Japanese, in these prisons who are innocent. They either sign a confession or they nod their head at the wrong time. In other words, if you're being interrogated and you say, I'm not answering any of your questions without my lawyer, which is what I do, they say, I'm just going to read this to you, and if you agree, nod. And so they read this. One of the tricks is they'll read this very benign, long statement that you get tired of listening to. For example, it starts up, so your name is Richard O'Berry. You're from Miami, Florida. Your wife's name is Helena. And it just goes on. And they'll slip in one sentence in the middle, and you're here because you violated Japanese law.
I have talked to every newspaper I could possibly talk to, every media outlet I could possibly talk to. We have done everything we could. We even changed all of our programming to talk about you.
Well, I'm impressed. Thank you.
I'm not going to be happy as long as you're still there. I'm just going to tell you.
Well, I understand. They can only keep me 60 days, then they will deport
right.
me. The thing, here's where we are now.
Okay.
So they wanted to railroad me out, and I didn't go for that. I asked for a judge to make a decision, and there'll be a hearing maybe next week or sometime. We have to wait till that process. The judge could decide, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to let you in to Japan, or we're going to deport you. It's up to the judge. The problem is the judge works for the immigration, so it's not likely that he's going to rule in my favor. Most judges in Japan just go along with whatever the prosecutor says. That's how it works here. It's a very, very different system. But we have to get through that process and through that hearing, and then I either go back or probably will be deported. At that point, then I am in a position to file a lawsuit. Because according to our lawyers, they broke the law.
Right.
They broke the law back. They broke the law in August when they arrested me under false pretenses.
In August, okay.
And they broke the law.
Again.
The Immigration Department, yeah. So I have never been in a position. I've been coming here for 13 years. I've never been in a position to sue them because they never broke the law. But they did this time. But I can't sue them until I get through this process. So, you know, I always try and see this from the dolphins' point of view. There are probably a million dolphins who have been slaughtered in that cove, and it'll go on until they kill all of them. They did the same thing in Iki Island. Iki Island slaughtered dolphins just like Taiji, hundreds of thousands. They don't do that anymore, and the reason they don't do it is there aren't any left to kill. They killed them all. They did the same thing in Futo. They don't kill them in Futo anymore because there aren't any left. It's genocide. And it has to do with overfishing.
Okay.
The dolphins eat too much fish as far as they're concerned. They need to look in the mirror and realize it's our overfishing that's causing this problem. So their solution is just kill the competition. Each one of these dolphins eat 30, 50 pounds of fish a day. Well, let's just kill them all, and we have more fish for ourselves. So I'm trying to bring attention to that problem, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm allowed to be here as a tourist. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to go to Taiji and take photographs and put it on the Internet if I want to and blog about it, and that's all I'm doing. Japanese citizens have a right to come to America. If they want to go to the Midwest and check into a hotel next to a slaughterhouse and take photographs and put those photographs on the Internet and blog about it, they have a perfectly legal right to do that for 90 days. And I have a legal right to be here doing the same thing.
Okay.
But they're trying to railroad me out of here, and they're breaking the law in the process. So now I'm in a position to file a lawsuit once this hearing takes place next week.
Right.
And so that's good news, actually. I could not have done this on my own. People are asking, what can I do to help?
Right.
We have a legal defense fund. We're hoping people will support that legal defense fund because we've hired a legal team here in Japan, and we'll take it all the way to the Supreme Court, where there is some hope.
Okay.
The Supreme Court, you know, you probably remember the Minamata disease where mercury poisoning started on planet
yes.
Earth. It happened first in Minamata, Japan. The Chisu factory was dumping chemical waste into Minamata Bay, and people were eating the fish, and they were, children were being born paralyzed, and that's the first place on planet Earth, ground zero, for what we now call mercury poisoning.
Right.
Those people took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court found the Japanese government guilty of covering this up, and so there is some hope at the Supreme Court, but it's going to be expensive. But we're going to take it all the way, because we think what they're doing in Taiji, they're killing the dolphins for their meat also, which is contaminated with mercury, menthol mercury, and PCBs, and they're selling it to unsuspecting Japanese people. We can't sue them for that, but we can sue them for what they have done to me, and so that's what we're going to do.
Rick, you sound a little congested to me. I'm concerned about your health.
I'm coming down with a cold now. Yeah, I sleep on the floor. I have a mat here that's about an inch thick. It's winter time in Japan, and I have a blanket. I'm pretty tough. I can do this. Helena,
you're badass.
You,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
We've been dropped out of a helicopter in the middle of the jungles in Guatemala and Nicaragua and Colombia, and lived for 6 months with nothing. So I can do this. I can get through this process. It's a small price to pay for the huge amount of media coverage that the dolphins are finally getting for the first time. They're getting more coverage now than the Cove movie gave them.
So I understand that.
Wonderful trade-off.
And I love you so much. And if that's your position, I will take that to the max, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. If people would just support the Legal Defense Fund, that would be awesome.
Where can they find that? Is that the Dolphin Project?
DolphinProject.net. Just go there and support the Legal Defense Fund. We're a very small grassroots group. We're all volunteers, pretty much.
Right.
And we don't have the money for these lawyers, but we're hoping the public will support this effort.
Thank you, Rick. I love you. Please stay well. It's be centered.
Thank you. I love you, too. And please excuse my son, Lincoln. He's following instructions. He didn't mean to be rude to you or be a pussy.
I feel badly. I am sorry.
Well,
we had a thing. My first reaction was, if it were my dad, I would fly there and be there.
No, I don't want him to do that. That's exactly what I told him. That's what he was doing. I said, do not do that. He would be in jail with me. His name is in the computer also.
Okay.
That's why I don't want Helena to come here right now.
All
right. It's best that they don't come here. Yeah, he's been here. He's been coming here since he was 3 years old. He knows the deal. I told him not to come here. He insisted on coming. I said, no.
Fair enough. So, I will apologize to Lincoln publicly.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And thank you for your call.
Okay, my dear. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
I did apologize to Lincoln. Have I heard back from him? No.
Not yet. Just say not yet. Not no. Lincoln's your second cousin, and I know he's very, very busy.
We're both very alpha people.
Yes, you are.
Okay. I understand that.
I'm hoping that he's listening tonight to this radio program and gets the message that you both have his dad and his best interest at heart. You just are going about it in slightly different ways.
I've got his back, and I've got it from a little different perspective from Lincoln. You know, Lincoln is looking at the dolphins and everything, and that's, I get that.
Rick has asked him to do.
Right, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also looking at it from the human perspective, which is also important.
That's correct.
So I looked at, from a research point of view, why these people would be so motivated to keep Rick there. And I went back in time and thought about this guy, Denny O'Hearn, from the Fishing Rights Alliance. We played an interview from him a couple years ago.
It was 2012.
Okay, it was more than a couple years ago.
Wow.
But this guy approached us and said, hey, you don't understand what people are doing. They're treating the water as a commodity. So this is why they don't want the dolphins there, because they're taking the fish supply.
And that's exactly what Rick said in the interview.
He said that one sentence, and I thought about it over and over. And then I realized there's the connection. And look up Blackstone, who owns SeaWorld, and their relationship with the Gulf of Mexico. Look that up. I haven't even gone there yet. I'm not done with you people. I'm not done.